This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm going to pray. Yes, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, would you come? Father, I thank you for the words that you have for us this morning through David. And I pray that we would have our eyes firmly fixed on you. That we would have our ears tuned in to what it is that you're saying to us this morning. And I pray that we would have a heart that is open and willing to receive from you this morning and to respond to your call and your invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Lovely day, isn't it? Thank you for coming. And welcome to those of you who are visiting, or this is your first time, you're checking us out. I want to... my name's David. I'm married to Alison. We're the senior pastors here. We're reading through Hebrews at the moment. This is part of our theme for this year of called Something Else. And something more. And if you look at our... you see this graphic that Hannah has designed for us? I don't know if you've looked at it any length, but it's a doorway. And it's the invitation to something more beyond the door. That's how she's done that. And we're reading through Hebrews at the moment because in Hebrews there's a lot. Oh goodness! I've got the screen of death in front of me. We're reading through. Well, it says diagnosing your PC. Automatic repair. Let's see what happens. I'm actually preaching about diagnosis. Going back to this, something more, and we're reading through Hebrews because Hebrews has this sense of something more. We're being taken through the veil, through a doorway into something more, And so today I want to... The thing about going through this veil into something more, into the presence of God, Scripture talks about Jesus passing through the heavens. And it's a sort of like we're in a sort of earthly space here, and then there's just beside it, there's a heavenly space, and in there is the Holy of Holies, the God of God on the throne. And Jesus is passing through the heavens into this place and opening a door for us to come with him. And my text for today, or my theme for today, is confidence. How can we approach the throne with confidence, knowing what this is like? So if you've got a Bible and would like to find Hebrews chapter 4, Jason is going to... Is Jason... I thought I saw him earlier on. Oh, he's there. He's moved. He's going to read to us from Hebrews chapter 4. Somebody who's found it in the Pew Bible can tell us what the page number is. 905. Thank you. That was very confidently pronounced. If you're online and you're looking at your real Bible, it's sort of turn right. It's nearly at the end. It's quite a long book, and it's written by somebody we're not sure who, to a load of probably new Jewish Christians in Rome, probably.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Thank you, Jason. A few years ago, we used to meet in a school in North Leeds called Ralph. We called it Ralph. That's not its proper name, is it? Ralph Thorsby, that's right. We called it Ralph. It's sort of a more intimate sort of thing. And we used to meet up at the school, but it had very little storage. And at the time, we owned a building down near Sheepscar, for those of you who are familiar with Leeds, which is in the center. It's a business park in the center of a huge junction. It's like an enormous roundabout with multiple traffic lights and obstructions. And so what we used to do every Sunday was a team would go to the Vineyard Center with a van or hire a van, pick up a whole lot of stuff, kids' stuff, PA, cafe, all that sort of stuff, take a van up to Ralph Thorsby's, unload it all, set up church, at the end of church, put it all back in the van, take it all back to Vineyard Center. So I know this place isn't perfect. I'm hearing you. I know this the Headingley Methodist isn't perfect, but we can set the thing up with one person. So Rob Hardy this morning was on setup, and woo! And if you like that sort of thing, organizing stuff and setting stuff up and making everything else happen, I mean, none of this would happen if it wasn't for Rob turning up early and starting stuff. Then if you want to help him out, I'm sure he'd love to add you to his team. Anyway, that's all by way of saying, we went through a season where we actually had a guy who used to, he had his own van and a helper, and he used to do it for us, and it was good value, and he would trundle down to the Vineyard Center, load up, and then go off. I was talking to him once, he was called Ian, and I think it's true, he told me, he was driving through this extraordinary junction at Sheepscar, those of you who know it. And he drives through the junction, and the CCTV camera lights flash. And he thinks, that's not right. I wasn't breaking the speed limit. I'm sure I wasn't breaking the speed limit. So he goes all the way around the roundabout system to go through it again. It takes about 5 minutes. So he's highly committed to justice in this. And he drives back through at exactly 30 miles an hour through the junction, and the lights go off again. So that's not right, he says. So... yeah, you guessed it. He goes all the way around again. And this time he goes through at 25 miles an hour. And they still flash. He's very puzzled, but he's got a job to do, so he goes off and does it. 6 weeks later, he gets 3 letters through the post. And each of them fine him for not wearing a seatbelt. I didn't know they could do that. The picture was there. You got to laugh. Well, you don't have to, but I thought it was funny. So, have you ever had one of those letters? Oh, yes, you have. Yeah. They used to stick them on your car when it was a parking thing, but now they just send it to you in the post. And you get the envelope, and you know it's not from your loved one. It's the font isn't right. And as you open it up, maybe it's just me, but I'm basically in a place of denial. This wasn't me, I wasn't there, it was her. Not my car. I was abroad. You know, that's how I open it up. And then as you pull the letter out, there's a photograph. Proof. And you have to deal with it. We have parked in some funny places. Alison once parked in a really funny place. She should have been fined. She should have, but they didn't ticket her. We were driving. I was teaching her to drive. This was many years ago. We just got married, and I was teaching her to drive. That's okay. It worked all right with us. And we were driving up Stonegate Road. For those of you who know, it's on the other side of the valley. It's a steep hill, and there's a junction there by the Kirby's Fish and Chips. for those of you in Meanwood. And it's a steep hill, junction, traffic comes to a halt, and she stalls. Sorry. I've asked her permission to share this a long time ago. And she stalls, which effectively is a form of parking, isn't it? I mean, she's parked. She stopped. The engine stopped. And she says, right, and she gets out. In the middle of the traffic. She gets out, walks around to my side, says, over to you. So I have to get out and walk around just saying, you know, trying to make peace with my fellow travellers. She didn't get a ticket for that. She should have done. But these days, when you get this, when you get some sort of what they call a PCN, penalty charge notice, brings out in a shudder. They're everywhere, aren't they? And they have this photographic evidence. And do you watch police camera action or court on camera? Or, you know, there's CCTV everywhere. There's people on phones everywhere. Nothing we do, can we escape from it? Let's go back to this text, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews is talking about a far superior form of ubiquitous CCTV. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Our brains aren't big enough to understand the transcendent power, the universal nature of God. We can't get our heads around that, but he is above and beyond everything that we can think of. He created all things, sustains all things, and sees all things. So that scripture talks about the word of God. It doesn't mean the Bible. You know, sometimes we talk about this being the word of God, and indeed it is. But that's not what it means in this text here. It's talking about that expression of God towards mankind, of power and creativity. It means God's command, that aspect that faces towards us, and it's most obviously visible in the person of Jesus. The word that it often uses is in Greek is logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos, the word. And it can mean a variety of things, but the Bible, the New Testament writers capture it for this purpose, this force, this facing towards us of God that just bursts the creation into place and then deals with us. And John chapter 1, John is one of the biographies about Jesus, tells us a story about him, and the very beginning, it starts with this theological statement. In the beginning was the Word. This expression of God was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Talking about Jesus. So this word, this expression of God is somehow seeing everything. And my basic theme today that I want to say, the message I want to get over is that God sees everything. Nothing is hidden, which is a scary, scary thought. And yet, God's mercy and grace await us. So we've been looking at Hebrews over the last few weeks, and Helen talked a couple of weeks ago about how Jesus is supreme, the word that created the universe, that word that I just read. And then last week, Anne was talking to us about how we're meant to see Jesus, the word made flesh. So we have this transcendent creative God, but then we also have this imminent with us present Jesus, the word that creates the universe and the word that comes to us. So it's much more than CCTV. Back to Hebrews 4, verse 12. This word is alive and active. It's in play, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. It's sharp, more than just physically sharp, more than cosmically sharp. Anybody seen The Dark Materials? Philip Pullman's amazing story. If you've read the story or seen the film, No? Just me? Surely, yeah. And there's a knife in the subtle knife, it's called, and it can cut. It cuts through the atmosphere and takes you into a different world. It's sharp like that, but it's more even than that, is the word of God. It's a subtle knife. It's soul sharp. It can pierce into, it can examine deep within us. Verse 12 goes on, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Whatever you are thinking right now, God knows it. Especially if you're not listening to what I'm saying. The sense of the word there, kritikos, is to sift and winnow through through what's going on inside our hearts and minds. F.F. Bruce, the famous theologian, uses this phrase. He says it's diagnosis. That's why I said I was talking about diagnosis. It diagnoses the condition of the human heart. How's your heart? How's your heart, brothers and sisters? He's diagnosing it. And he's saying, you're unwell there and there, and you're a bit broken here and here. He probes the inmost recesses of our spiritual being, bringing the subconscious to light. See, I may come to church on a Sunday and I might pull the wool over your eyes about how well I'm doing. I might even deceive myself. But God knows. Nothing escapes his scrutiny. So, knowing that, how does that make you feel? That doesn't fill me with confidence. The more I think about that, the more I want to back off. God, you really don't want to get close to me. I can't come close to you. You're holy, and you know how bad I am. It puts us utterly on the mercy of God. When I opened those, it would have been a useful illustration, wouldn't it, if I'd had them with me. But to be honest, I dislike those letters I get. It sounds as though I get a lot. I haven't had a lot. Okay, I've had a few, just enough to illustrate this message. But I put them in the bin. I shred them sometimes. I should have kept one to wave. Anyway, when you open it, as I say, your first thing is denial. I wasn't there. It wasn't me. It was her. That was almost certainly what I'm thinking as I'm opening it. And then, boom, there's the photograph, and I know it's me. And it's a bit like that when we're dealing with God, when we're dealing with stuff in our lives with God. It's denial, denial, denial. Boom, it's me. I can live my life like that, pretending that God doesn't see. Not just in my actions, but in my words and my thoughts. I can live in that sort of denial, but eventually the light shines. And these verses remind me, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Oh dear. Easy to despair at that point. Get into a negative mindset because I know that what's in my heart is not pretty. And my confidence begins to ebb away. And some of you are in that place right now. Off on a tangent. Ray, I'm in touch with the kids. Ray won 6 BAFTAs last night. A record number of BAFTAs. She's a great singer-songwriter. Painful songs, to be honest, and hard to listen to because of the language sometimes. One of the songs talks about how she was near to committing suicide and then how the fact that she's a Christian and that she reads the scriptures rescued her. Remarkable. And I heard an interview with her this morning on the radio. I wouldn't have believed it otherwise. And she talks about her faith rescuing her in those dark times. How reading the scriptures, praying, worshipping, how she gathers people in her house to do that. It's hard for her to go to church. Some of you are in a place where you need to hear God's love for you. You need to know, be able to come with confidence, because you're at a really low point right now. And you're coming on Sunday and people ask you how you are. I say, I'm okay. And you're singing the songs. And when we have our prayer ministry time, you're even joining in and praying for people, which is fantastic. But deep inside, you're in a mess. You're not sure. So here is a beautiful word in between verse 13 and 14. A beautiful word that brings us back to the glorious truth and the life-giving reality. This word, therefore. Beginning of verse 14, therefore. When you see the word therefore, you look, what is it there for? It's there because he said, so he said all this about God, how everything being exposed to him, and then he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, or passed through the heavens is a better translation, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. You see, we're aware of this awesome power in the presence of God. We are fearful of judgment, and our confidence to approach God may be beginning to ebb. Therefore, hold firmly to the faith, he says, at that point. The truth, the good news, that we've been redeemed from condemnation, that the judgment has been made, and God sees us as righteous. Wow. Says, hold firmly to the faith, what we believe. So let's just recap what we believe. We read it, if you've been reading through Hebrews with us over Lent, in the first reading, and this is, Helen preached on this a couple of weeks ago, chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He provided for the purification of sins. There's lots of imagery in here, which to us, those of us who don't have a Jewish background, is mysterious, some of it. But it's the purifications of sins was something that happened in the temple every year through the sacrifice of lambs. And they were it was their way of getting, spilling blood was the way that they could deal with the sin in their lives and receive forgiveness and purification. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, because that is never going to be enough. That's never going to be enough on its own. And Jesus has come, Hebrews 2, verse 17, for this reason he, Jesus, had to be made like them, us, fully human in every way. So this transcendent God becomes this immanent God amongst us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. The lambs weren't enough, but Jesus is enough. The Holy Lamb of God has taken the judgment upon himself and thus purified us, you and me. So however you've come, you need to know this is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient for this. Not only is he the sacrifice, he is also the priest, the one who calls us into this presence of God through the doorway into the throne room. Verse 15 talks about Jesus, this one who has purified us and rescued us. He says, for we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. You see, Jesus took on our full humanity. Whatever you are feeling in your life right now, however low you have got, Jesus has been there. It said in that passage just read, fully human in every way, even to death. Jesus has an unequal capacity for sympathizing, and because he was utterly holy, his death purifies us. How did that first section finish? Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And yet, when we stand before the Holy One in the throne room, before the King of Kings on Judgment Day, or even just as we go to him now, when the books are opened and we have to explain ourselves, when the PCN photo evidence gives us no room for maneuver, we open that letter, that penalty charge notice letter. I was going to use a rude word. Or when we come to look in the book, it's blank. There's nothing there. Because Jesus has provided for the purification of our sins. The first few verses make it clear nothing is hidden. We're fully known. But then just as we're losing hope, we learn that therefore our faith in God has declared us purified, righteous. The price has been paid. The PCN ticket has been paid. It says on it, paid. No charge. You're free to go. Is that? Can you not sense that relief? That big relief, that salvation, that Jesus understands me and yet he forgives me and he's been where I am. So, let us approach the throne of grace. Let us approach it with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Are you in a time of need? Well, then approach the throne of grace with confidence. What a wonderful message. You can have confidence before God. And what awaits you is not condemnation, but mercy and grace. You see, when we're faced with this, I'm coming to an end now, when we're faced with this awesomeness of God, the power and the holiness of God, and we do it's the right posture to be afraid, to be awestruck, to be overwhelmed. God sees everything, judgment will come. That's what verses 12 and 13 say. Therefore, we need to hold tight to our faith in Jesus, our Savior, verses 14 to 16. And we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let me wrap up. Whatever your history, whatever is in your past, whatever you were doing last night, whatever you feel like, whatever your present state of being is, God sees it. He sees it all. Nothing is hidden. But God's mercy and grace await. You can lift your head high. You are a son or daughter of the King, and you can have confidence before God. Amen? Why don't you stand? Let's just come to him now in our thoughts and minds. I don't know your situation, you do. Well, you know some of it anyway. Come to him. He's seen it all. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. However messed up, however dark your life is right now, let's come to him. Let's face Jesus. He's our priest. He's gone before us. He knows our weaknesses. He has walked this path before us. He's been in the darkest of places. And he's rescued us through his death on the cross, through his power, through his resurrection from the grave. He's rescued us. So let us bring all of that. All of that is within us. Let's bring it to him now. As I often say, I don't want you to leave the same way that you came in. Whatever you came in with, this is it. This is your moment to take it to God, to receive healing and forgiveness and grace and His mercy. So receive. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and break through our passivity, break through our resistance, break through our denial. Come with your grace and your mercy and set us free. Come, Lord. Grant us your confidence. Grant us confidence to approach you. Yeah. Let me just pray, and you pray with me. Father God, I've come to you with awareness of all the rubbish in my life. Some of it's serious, some of it's just stupid. And I know that there's stuff in there that I don't even know, that I've suppressed, I've forgotten, I've hidden. And I just want to say I'm sorry. I repent, I turn back to you. I thank you for all you've done for me. May I be one of your followers? Can I follow you, Lord? Would you, I hesitate to ask, but you promise it in your word here, would you pour out your grace on me? Would you grant me your mercy? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Amen. Let's just stay in that place a moment. Like Sarah said earlier on, the Holy Spirit is here, ministering to us. So just as I look around, I can see the Holy Spirit is ministering to many of you. This is a moment to capture, so just stay there. Stay in that place. We have a culture here of praying for one another, so we've got a few minutes. Those of you who are receiving, stay where you are. If you're not, and you would like, and I'd love you, especially if you're a regular here, if you're a leader here, to have a look around. Just go and bless somebody. Go and pray for them. It's a real privilege. If God is at work in someone's life right now, for us to be able to be participating in that is just a privilege. Wonderful to see. Wonderful to be part of. So just go and lay your hands on them. Just say, I bless what the Lord is doing. Let Him come. We're going to say goodbye to the people online. Thank you for joining with us. May the Lord bless you too. Spend some time receiving His confidence. Yeah, Roger, the Spirit of the Lord's on you. Receive it. I can see this. I can see. It's like a. Roger, it's like a reverse of that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the. Gold head and the mud and stone, mud and iron feet. It's like a reverse of that. You're being made whole from the feet upwards. I know you've got damaged feet, so I don't quite know whether that's a physical healing or something else, but I just speak that over you. I bless you with His power and His healing touch. Don't wait for me, you go for it. If you see somebody receiving from God, go and pray for them, go and bless them. Spirit of the Lord's on Dan there. Let him come, Dan. Dan, it's significant. So a couple of guys, will you go and pray for Dan here? Halfway back on that, my left, your right. The The significance, Dan, of standing next to your parents, I think the Lord wants to use this moment to release a legacy in your life. There's a calling on you. I don't think you know what it is yet. It's bigger than anything you thought so far. And the fact that your parents are beside you is part of your legacy, part of your inheritance. So I bless what he's doing in you. Receive it now. There's something happening now. Let him come. Let him come. Those of you who know Dan, or you can see him over there, or you're not busy, as you look at him, ask the Lord to give you something for him. When I look at you, I see. It's one of the things we say, isn't it? So when you look at Dan, what's the Lord saying to him? And go and give it to him afterwards. Just share maybe a scripture or a word. Not a preach, but something to encourage him and strengthen him. I think we're sort of crawling towards an end. If you would like us to pray for you, maybe you come with physical need or financial or relationship or something that you need prayer for, wander down to the front or ask somebody who looks nice next to you to pray for you. We're going to call an end to our time together. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. If you have children, please go and collect them before they serve the double espresso. And have a wonderful week.